Shabbat Shalom, saints, and welcome to our Sabbath Holy Convocation Service. Each week, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet us here. In fact, Jehovah commanded us to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. We know, according to Leviticus 23, the Sabbath is a feast of Jehovah. So I want you to grab something to write with, something to write on, and prepare yourself to receive inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for our Sabbath Holy Convocation Service. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a 2-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please Help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you. Shalom. I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. I'm excited to inform you that Hebrew Roots University is open for admission. Please check out our newly designed innovative website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate's, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. We have kept our website design simple, making it easy to navigate to what really matters, and that is our degree courses. Please take a moment and peruse through the pages of our website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. When you're ready to take the first step on this exciting educational theological journey, simply click the Apply Now button and follow the instructions. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Got Questions section at the bottom of our website. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey. So check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Shalom.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring. Challenging. Encouraging. Deepening. Strengthening. And enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Well, Shabbat Shalom, saints. It's good to see all of you here today, especially with that weather outside. Those of you who are joining us online, we certainly appreciate you joining in with us in the warmth. I am glad to be here this morning. It is always a privilege to wake up and to be clothed in your right mind and have the presence of mind and being on the Sabbath to make our way out of the congregation and have a holy convocation with one another. That is something that we have to look forward to. Not to mention, it's something that we are commanded to do. Today, we are going to continue in Luke, as we've been doing our verse-by-verse study on Sabbath, currently in the Gospel according to Luke. And on Thursdays, we are making our way through Leviticus during our Searching the Scriptures, as we are almost coming to the end of Leviticus. And those of you who have been joining in with us, I certainly pray that you have been blessed as we have gone through that particular book. Now, today we're going to be talking about how prayers that get results, how to pray and get results in your prayers. Now, we all know that it's the Almighty who answers prayers. And therefore, it's important for us to understand what it is that he requires of us in order for us to get our prayers answered. So we're going to be talking about that this morning. For those of you who are joining us online, we certainly pray that you would take a moment. If you're on our website, and you can subscribe for updates on our website as we provide those updates. We encourage people to subscribe, and then when we go live or when we send out our communications throughout the week, then you will have those communications coming directly to you in your inbox. And so if you haven't subscribed to our website, if you're on our website there, arthurbaileyministries.com, and you're watching us, if you simply go to the top of the page, you'll see that there is a subscribe button, and you can subscribe on our website there. Those of you who are watching us on YouTube, we certainly encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube page. And when you subscribe to our YouTube page, or if you're on Facebook, you can follow us on Facebook. And when you do, whenever we go live, you will be informed via notification, especially if you click the notification button there on the YouTube page. And if you're on Facebook or YouTube or our website, we always encourage you to like and share our videos and our posts with others so they too can be blessed from the teachings. At the end of today's teaching, you'll be given an opportunity to ask questions, to give, and to receive prayer. And so if you have prayer requests or if you have questions, I encourage you during the teaching, if you would take a moment and write your questions down. I can't tell you how many times people have said to me after the service, I had a question, but I forgot. I should have wrote it down. And so I encourage you to write your questions down when you get them. If you feel that they are a question that you are compelled to ask, please ask your questions, and especially if they pertain to the teaching. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father in heaven, we are so grateful to be here today. We thank you for watching over us. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for putting it in our hearts and minds to assemble ourselves together. And as we assemble ourselves, we come with the expectation that you join in with us. You said where two or more gather together, you're there in the midst of them. And so we welcome your presence here in the midst of us today. You know the needs of every person here, every person who are joining us online, and even those, Father, who will watch this teaching at a later date. We know that you are the one who provide, who supply all of our needs. And so we bring our needs and our cares and concerns, and we cast them at your feet, and we petition you, Father, knowing that you know what we have need of even before we ask, asking that you will move mightily in the midst of us today. You know those who need to be healed, those who need to be delivered, those who are facing challenges, even those, Father, who are asking and seeking your face for guidance and direction concerning their calling and what their purpose is in the earth. We pray that you reveal all of these things to your people today. For those who are seeking you for direction and guidance, those who are seeking you, Father, for purpose and to understand why they're here, those who are in need of healing, those who need deliverance, those who need jobs, those who need funds, Father, you know. And so we just ask that you will meet every need in this place today. Let none lack. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that you have done. We confess our weaknesses, our shortcomings. Ask that you forgive us of every sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, creating us clean hearts and renew the right spirit in us. As we go through this lesson today, Father, we pray that you will give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Give us understanding of those things that we read, and give us revelation, Father, and show us how to incorporate and how to apply the things that you reveal to us today in our lives. We pray your blessings upon our homes, upon our businesses, our workplaces, our families. And ask, Father, that you just show yourself mightily, even in their lives. Draw your people close to you today. Be glorified in us, in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. So again, today we're going to be in, we're in Luke chapter 18. We're going to look at verses 1 through 17. And the title of the teaching again is Prayers That Get Results. As I sent out the description of this teaching and the teaching that we did on Thursdays, which is what we do typically on a Wednesday, we send out the description of the teachings that we're going to be doing on Thursday, and then for our Friday Sabbath premiere, and then our live Sabbath service. And we do this every Wednesday as Father give us the strength to do it. And I think we've been consistent for a while. And those of you who register, those who subscribe, you receive those notifications, those emails that talk to you or tell you and give you the description of the teaching. And in the description today, we talked about how prayer is essential in the life of a believer. Prayer is how we communicate in our supernatural relationship with our Heavenly Father. And sometimes I think that may get lost among us because we are in the natural. Father is not a natural being. He is supernatural. His spirit is supernatural. And so our relationship with him is a supernatural relationship. The question that I asked, and I know I asked these questions because there have been times when I could have answered yes to all of these, and in some cases no to some. Like, do you ever wonder if your prayers are effective? There's been times when I've wondered that. There have been times when I've prayed for individuals and I saw immediate results. There's been times when I've prayed for people and I didn't see results. There's been times when I've prayed for situations, you know, to get out of the way. And for whatever reason, they remain. There are times when I have felt that my prayers were not effective. Are you getting the kind of results you want when you pray? I can tell you that there are things that I've prayed for and I want Father to change them and to deal with them, and yet he still haven't dealt with them. Do you pray for results? I certainly do. But I know that there's been times when I have prayed out of habit. I remember back in the days of the church, some of you've heard me mention this author, a fellow by the name of Larry Lee, wrote a book, Can You Not Tarry an Hour? And I used to pray because we were taught that we need to spend a certain amount of time in the presence of God. There are people today who pray for hours and hours. And there are people who, you know, go and they pray for an hour. I prayed. Oftentimes when I prayed because it was my duty, my responsibility to pray. And many times after I prayed, I forgot what I prayed for after I finished praying. Do you ever wonder if your prayers are being heard? I certainly have. And I suspect some of you may have wondered that as well. Do you sometimes feel your prayers are not working? There have been times, brothers and sisters, and as much as I hate to admit it, there have been times when I felt some people were better off me not praying for them than praying for them, especially when I've prayed for somebody for something not to happen, and the very thing that I prayed not to happen happened. It's as if I wonder sometimes if I was, you know, somewhat to blame. Maybe if I had prayed for that person, that wouldn't have happened. But all of these things, they have a tendency to work on us. And they can discourage us. In fact, sometimes you can pray and pray and not see the results. And you just say to yourself, you know, what's the point? And this is one of the things that I think Father is dealing with us in this particular teaching, as Yeshua is going to be sharing with his disciples, even in the very opening verse. I also said, you're not alone. As I've confessed here today, I have answered yes to some of these questions and no to others. In this portion, Yeshua tells two parables and shares a life lesson. And the purpose is to inspire his disciples and us on the importance of an active, unrelenting prayer life that get results. In life, we face many challenges, disappointments, obstacles, problems, resistance, trouble. We get through one thing only to face another. We overcome one obstacle only to be confronted with another obstacle. And here's one of the lessons. Actually, there's several lessons that we can learn from the life of Job. And I suspect Yeshua being knowledgeable of what is written, I can't help but think if maybe some of this ideology is in the conversation or in the parable which he chose to share with his disciples. But one of the things that Job pointed out as he was going through all of the challenges that he was going through is that if you are a man born of a woman, and it doesn't matter if you're male or female, there is a few days and full of trouble. And that's what he says. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days. I mean, even if we live to be 120, like some of us are believing for, that's a few days in the sight of Jehovah. And during those days, during the life, our lifetime, there will be trouble. I mean, you can kind of bank on it. Anybody who gets come in this life and get through it without having any trouble, you know, I don't even know if that's possible. We can argue and plead our case with man or with Jehovah, and Yeshua is going to share this parable concerning this widow in court. She's facing a judge. Job tells us that surely as his friends came to make accusations against him, he says, surely I will speak to the Almighty. In other words, there are times when we're having arguments with one another. I remember, and I won't call names, but I've had to tell various people who have made accusations toward me Let Jehovah judge between you and I. You know, if what you're saying is true, then Father will reveal that to you. If it's not true, then he'll reveal that to you as well. But why would you argue with someone who's already convinced that you're not even speaking the truth? Is it possible to win that kind of an argument with somebody who's already convinced that, you know, you're deceiving, you're not telling the truth, you're lying? And so Job, he pulled back because his friends, they were making accusations against him. And he says, listen, if I'm going to plead my case, if I'm going to argue, surely I would speak to the Almighty and desire to reason with him. Because there's one entity that is going to see right through your lies. If you're lying, you can't convince him otherwise. He knows the things that are in us. He knows what's in our heart. He knows our end from our beginning. And so we may fool other people, but we can never fool him. We must wait, as Job said, sometimes till our change come. When we pray and we trust and we believe. I know in dealing with some sicknesses, some people get healed instantly. Some people, their sickness linger. People that we keep praying for, individuals who are having life-threatening issues, cancer for one, folks who deal with diabetes, who deal with visual impairments and other forms of impairment, seemingly like having to go through. Even, you know, when it comes down to some sicknesses, there are phases that, you know, we go through in order sometimes for those things to just work themselves through. So Job says in Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. And there are times, brothers and sisters, you have to wait. Now, I laid all this out because as we get into this particular teaching where Yeshua is going to be speaking a parable, I want you to pay attention, first of all, to verse number one. He says, and he spake a parable. So we know that he's talking a parable. The parable is a story to go alongside because he wants to teach his disciples a lesson. And the lesson here is that unto this end, he says, he spake a parable unto them to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought to always pray and not to faint. Now, these brothers have been with him for some time. They've listened and watched as he has dealt with individuals who have come to him, as he has spoken to the religious leaders who had come at him. And now here in the 18th chapter of Luke, he's talking to them and he's saying to them, you need to always pray. Now, why is he saying that? Because there are going to be times when you're going to feel like your prayers are useless. There are going to be times when you ain't going to feel like praying. There are going to be times when you think you would be better off taking matters into your own hands. There'll be times when you think you're better off dealing with an issue and not taking the issue before the Almighty and allowing him to deal with it. See, when you're in a supernatural relationship with Father and dealing with relationships that are natural, sometimes you can forget the supernatural authority and power you operate in or have available to operate in and walk in your carnal power. It's amazing. There are sometimes when people get in trouble and they want to try to talk their way out of trouble. You ever dealt with somebody who's trying to talk their way out of something? Now, especially if they know they're guilty. And then start volunteering information. You know, because they're trying to convince you that they're not guilty of what they're guilty of. A parable is a placing of one thing by the side of another, a juxtaposition, as of ships in battle, metaphorically comparing, comparison of one thing with another, likeness or similitude. And here's, you know, he's saying an example by which a doctrine or precept is illustrated. And these are all from the Strong's number 3850 as it relates to parable in the Greek, a narrative, a fictitious but agreeable to the laws and usages of human life by which either the duties of men or the things of God, particularly the nature and history of God's kingdom, are figuratively portrayed. A parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and a pithy and instructive saying involving some likeness or comparison and having preceptive or admonitory force, an aphorism, a maximum. I mean, you got all of these, and the usage is a parable, figure, comparison, a proverb. Preaching the parable puts the parable as the lesson. And I don't know about you, but I've been in ministries where they preach the parable as if the parable is the lesson, or if the parable is the story that should be preached. But the parable is a story that actually helps to understand what is actually being communicated. And we know that Yeshua spoke in parables, but when he spoke in parables, all the people that were around him, he spoke in parables, so they didn't really get it, which would require them to inquire or to ask questions. Because if they really want to understand it, what are they going to do? Ask a question. Why wouldn't they ask a question? Because they think they understand what he's saying. The reason why people don't ask questions is because they think they already have an understanding or they have the answer to the question. So what's the point? The purpose of the parable was to emphasize the need for men to always pray and not faint. Now, when he tells the parable, he's not talking about prayer in the parable. He's given an illustration of a woman who's going to a judge to avenge her or to render her justice, not praying to the judge. But he's using the story to teach that men should always pray. And he uses the illustration of this woman and her persistence and her tenacity and her not giving up and not relenting until she get results. The word faint here is to be utterly spiritless, to be wearied out, to be exhausted. Now, there are people that you can minister to, talk to, try to share the faith with, and they just continually reject it. They don't want to hear it. And you get weary in dealing with those people. And they will wear you out if you allow them. We don't give up on those folks. Okay, they didn't want to hear us today. But there's the tomorrow. Well, next day they don't want to hear you. If you're not careful, if they reject you enough, you know you'll stop telling them. You'll stop sharing with them. And you know what will happen is that you will build up a resistance within yourself that they, in their resistance, created in you. And this is how people sometimes respond. If you ask them a certain question, they say, well, they ain't going to listen. Well, how do you know they're not going to listen? Because you've developed this resistance within yourself that has been now put in you by their resistance. So now, because you anticipate resistance, you don't even make the effort. They wore you out to faint. The enemy tries to wear us out. In fact, Daniel prophesied, he says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, speaking of the enemy, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and a times and the dividing of time. And we know for a fact, even as Jeremiah would tell us, you know, that we've inherited some lies. There are things that we've inherited. We were born into it. We don't need to investigate within ourselves because we've always believed certain things. If you were brought up in a home and you were raised up, you know, celebrating Christmas and the Christmas tree and all the nice warm fuzzy feelings that come around that, and, you know, hot chocolate and marshmallows and, you know, jingle bells and Frosty and all that kind of, I mean, it's a good feeling. And then you see that beautiful lit tree with all the different colors and all the colorful packages underneath it. And the children, you know, they're excited and parents are excited, all that kind of stuff. You know, who don't want to have that kind of experience? And then come to find out Santa Claus wasn't real. That, you know, Frosty is a myth and all that stuff was made up, but you believed that. You probably was one of those children, if you could afford it. I know if Santa Claus came to our house, he didn't get no cookies, because if there was cookies, we ate them. Right? But, you know, some people, they put the cookies out and and all that good stuff, and then wake up in the morning, the cookies are gone. But these are the kinds of things that people are raised up in. And because of those experiences and those memories, they want their children to have the same kind of experiences and memories, even though they know it's fictitious. Changing the law from Sabbath to Sunday. There are many things that the enemy has already done. If you were brought up in a Sunday church and taught that Sabbath was, you know, for the Seventh-day Adventist people who are trying to earn their way to heaven, or for the Jewish people who rejected Jesus, and Sunday is the day we're supposed to worship, and all of those good things, you know, then that's what you'll believe. And even though someone come and point things out to you in Scripture, it's amazing how people believe that December 25th and Christmas Day is the birth of Jesus. And then even if they admit that it is not, they still celebrate it and say, we don't know exactly what day he was born, but... And it's like, well, where is that at to celebrate the birth of the Messiah? And of course, they'll find the story in Luke. And you say, well, was that a celebration? If it was such a celebration, why would Father hide it from the rest of the world? See, just because you see the story in the Bible, you think that everybody saw the story in the Bible. But the story itself tells us there were shepherds in a field and the mom and dad and the baby was in a manger. Who all came to visit that child? Shepherds in the field. Well, what about all the folks in the city of Bethlehem? Why weren't they informed? I mean, if his birth and celebrating his birth is such a big issue, it seemed like Father would have shouted, the shepherds would have told everybody, come see a child, all this good stuff. And the whole city would have come to the manger to celebrate the birth of the child. But people make up stories, find scriptures to support those stories. And next thing you know, over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, it becomes something real, even though it's not. Now, sure, the baby Messiah was born, but he wasn't born Messiah. He was born as a baby. When he entered into his ministry. Now, we know that he was the Messiah before the foundation of the earth. But if you remember, he stayed at home with his parents until he was baptized of John in the Jordan, and the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove or like a dove. And even in his day, so many lies had been incorporated in Judaism, where people were teaching the commandments of men and the traditions of men. And they, even at that time, wasn't keeping the commandments, because what Daniel prophesied was already in the works. When we pray, always, we keep the focus on Jehovah as our source. See, when you stop praying, when you aren't praying, what happens is that you take your eyes off Father. The moment you take your eyes off Father, you put your eyes on something else. We take the focus off of Him as our source. When we give up on praying, we lose focus of Jehovah as our source. And our problems, our needs, and others become our focus. See, if you're having problems with your husband, or problems with your wife, or problems with your sons or your daughters or your siblings or whoever you're having problems with, it's important for us to talk to the Most High about that person or those people. And when we talk to Him, what's going to happen is the fact that we're going in His presence with all of this stuff in us. If we're angry, if we're bitter, if we're hurt, if we're disappointed, if we're offended, and we're talking to Him about it, and He's dealing with us, listening to us, communing with us, guess what happens? In the process of this communing, He begins to deal with us and to show us if there's any unreasonableness within our own hearts, if we're properly assessing the situation, causing us to focus on did we contribute to it? Is it our fault? Is it something we did or didn't do? Because, see, this whole process of communing with Him is going to cause Him now to cause us to examine ourselves. When we stop praying, we stop examining. Because now we focus on the issue, the people, and the circumstances. And there's no reflection. There's no self-examination. Because that's the problem. But Father, help us to see things clearly as we keep our focus on Him. The lesson here is about praying to Jehovah always in all circumstances for all things, for Jehovah will always be there to hear you when you call on Him. And He will render righteous judgment. Therefore, He encourages, as Yeshua is saying, Paul says it in another way, pray without ceasing. Yeshua says that men should always pray. Well, how do you always pray? See, this is the thing that really got me as, you know, if I'm supposed to always pray, and prayer is confined to a closet, then how can I always pray if prayer is confined to a closet and I'm not always in the closet? Because Yeshua says, when you pray, go into your closet. Close the door. You see, it seems as if prayer is confined to a literal location. But the whole issue is that prayer, if Father is always with me. If I'm guarded, I'm always in my closet. See, because if I'm guarded and in communion with him, nothing can come in unless I open the door and let it in. You see. When we pray without ceasing, then we're continually in communion with him. In verse 2, he says, now remember, he says he taught this parable that they should always pray and not faint. Don't grow weary. He said there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. The woman pleaded her case here before a man who had no regard for her or her issues. In verse 4 it says, and he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. And here we see in this next verse, the woman was persistent. This is a lesson that she continually, the woman was persistent and would not faint or give up until she got justice. In verse 5, it says, yet. Now notice what he says, because this woman, this judge, he wasn't fearful of Jehovah. He had no fear of God. He didn't care about men. But this woman, he said, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. In other words, this judge got familiar with this woman. It wasn't that she came and judge avenged me and he, you know, wrote her off and she went on complaining about the judge, not getting justice. No, she came and she came and she came and she continued to come until the judge says, you know what? I'm tired of this woman. Now, that's not to say Father gets tired of us. But what it does tell us is that we have to be persistent in our prayers. To be weary here means to beat back. And if you look at the usage, it is to be weary, to keep under. And so the judge is saying, this woman is wearying me. She's not going to allow me to ignore her. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. The unjust judge felt the woman troubled him and said the woman's continual coming wearied him. That's what he says. She wearies me. Yeshua is saying sometimes we have to trouble Jehovah with our prayers. And he said, well, brother, come on. Well, there is example after example after example in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Now, we know with Yeshua, when he asked Father of something, Father did it. Paul said, you know, when he was beseeching the Almighty, three times he went, you know, to deal with this thorn in the flesh. And Father spoke to him saying, my grace is sufficient for you. But, you know, he went three times. Now, it doesn't tell us which one of those times Father spoke to him. But we know that Father spoke to him. And I suspect that after Father told him, my grace is sufficient for you, he stopped going to the Almighty. Why? Because he had an answer. We know that Father has spoke some things and it has taken years and years for some of those things to manifest.
He told Noah, he says, listen, my spirit is not always going to thrive with man. And he began to prepare Noah because destruction was coming. When you think about Israel crying out because of their oppression, and in the fullness of time, the Almighty responded to their cry. It would be wonderful if Father responded every time we prayed and asked him to do something. But we all know that even though we may have that experience from time to time, that all of our prayers aren't necessarily responded to in that manner. Sometimes he answers quickly. Other times he waits. In verse 7, he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And one version is, will he bear long with them, is what he's saying. In other words, it gives indication that he's going to answer and respond immediately. And sometimes he does. Some people give up too easy. They pray, they don't see results in their time frame, and what happens? They quit. I've heard people say, you know, I tried that. I tried God. Yes, I've prayed. I've done this and I've done that. And he doesn't seem to listen, or he don't hear my prayers. And oftentimes he's not moving fast enough for people. We want him to change our wife or change our husband or save our son or save our daughter or, you know, just change the hearts and minds of someone who may not be thinking right. Some people don't want to be bothered. In other words, you know, that's not right. Some people don't think he want to be bothered. You know, you have people, there have been people who, you know, you want to help. For instance, and they say, surely somebody else needs it more than me. Or, you know, they don't want to bother God because obviously there's bigger problems for him to deal with and to solve and resolve other than this little problem I have. So they don't think you really want to be bothered by that. Some people confuse repetition in prayer to repetitious praying. When Father says, don't use vain repetition, he's saying, don't keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over, thinking you're going to be heard. He's not saying, don't, you know, pray once and don't ever pray and ask for that again, you know, because even when Yeshua says, ask and you shall receive, the context seems to indicate that you ask and continue to ask. You knock and you continue to knock. And he gives some stories to go alongside when he was speaking concerning asking, continue to ask, knock, continue to knock, seek, continue to seek, and you shall find. Some people have been taught you pray only once. And anything beyond that is a lack of faith. I certainly have been taught that too. And it's like, okay, well, when are you going to answer me? When are you going to answer me? One thing that I have, and there's many lessons that I've learned from praying, but there are times when I've been praying only to have it revealed within myself that what I'm praying for is not really in his will. I don't know if you've ever caught yourself praying certain things and be convicted in prayer because you're praying something that, you know, it's like, this don't even sound right. This don't even feel right. Yeshua is saying you pray until you get results. In verse 8, he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He will avenge them speedily. Then he makes this statement, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" When the Son of Man cometh, shall he? How does that fit in this parable he just spoke? Because see, what he's saying concerning this woman is that this woman wore out the judge. See, the thing about faith, brothers and sisters, is that if you have faith and you operate in faith, you're not going to give up. You're not going to stop pursuing him. Because even though he may not give you what it is you want when you want it, you know that he's capable. You know that he is. You know that he exists. You know that he is the one who will supply all of your needs. You know that he's the one who saved. He's the one who delivered. And you keep calling. You keep calling. You keep calling. You keep calling. He's saying, are there going to be people who are persistent and consistent to continue in faith, to continue to seek the Almighty and not give up and continue to seek until he returns? Now, I don't know about you, but I've prayed the prayer in Revelation, come quickly, and he ain't come. There's been times when I would have loved for him to, you know, this be the day that we all, if there's such thing as a rapture. When I believed in the rapture, there were times when it would have been a good time to rapture me now. Problems, circumstances, issues. Some people, not only do they give up, but they give up on life to the point to where they can't see the potential or the possibility of anything ever changing, and they check out. Some people check out mentally. Some people check out emotionally. Some people actually check out physically and commit suicide because they have lost hope. The thing about faith, as the Hebrew writer writes to us, is that those who come to him must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They must believe that he is, that he exists. And once you believe that he exists, then you diligently seek his face. You continue to seek him. Regardless to what anybody else say or do, you know, you can hear people say, well, you know, that prayer stuff don't work. And then you hear people say there's power in prayer. And so there's all of these conflicting information, conversations that people have. But what it really boils down to is, do you believe? Now, he's speaking to his disciples, and we know that. Well, he doesn't call them all by name, but we believe that Judas is in that group. Why he would go and kill himself, commit suicide, is, you know, it's just the thought of where was his mind? How can you follow Messiah and lose hope, lose faith? There's evidence that people do. The Bible even teaches us that some is going to depart. They're going to just walk away from the faith. They're going to go out from among us. And you can't help but wonder, how is it that someone who has such a love for God, who seems to be on fire, and then they backslide and go back into the world? And some of them don't make it back. You don't know what's going on in a person's mind. Why? You know, we can say, well, were their faith even genuine? Were they even saved? We can go through all of that stuff. But see, what's in their mind is not what's important. It's what's in yours. What's in your mind? Because if you truly believe he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, then you're going to start looking within yourself, which is what this next parable is about. You're going to start doing some introspecting, evaluating, examinations. Why are you thinking the way you're thinking? Why are you feeling the way you're feeling? Why are you acting the way you're acting? And so he says, will I even find faith? One of my main concerns right now, outside of myself, because within me, I'm convinced there's nothing that's going to get me off course. Absolutely. I don't care what happens, because I'm in this to the end, and I'm not in it for somebody else. I'm in it for me. And that's where you have to be. You have to. So no matter who walks away, no matter who decides that they're not going to serve him anymore, is that going to affect you? How do you know? Because you have to make your calling and your election sure. This ain't about mama and daddy or wife or husband or sister or brother. This is about my relationship with him. And not because I'm scared to go to hell, because hell ain't even in the conversation. The lake of fire is not even in the conversation. I'm in it because I know that there is something in this life for me that I'm called to accomplish. And I don't want to leave until it's accomplished, because I know the day is coming, just like you should know the day is coming, that one day we're going to have to face him. The people who allow themselves to do the kind of things that they should not be doing are the people who have lost faith or focus in the fact that one day they're going to have to give an account for their lives. You and I have to be constantly aware of the fact that we will give an account for our lives. That's whether you die today, tomorrow, next week, or 50 years from now. That's if you believe the word. He says, will I find faith on the earth? And for me, when I think about it, I'm really concerned about all of the things that are happening in the world today to cause people to take their eyes off of the Almighty. There are a lot of things that are going on, and much of it, similar to the day of Messiah, is teachers out there teaching people things that they ought not be teaching them. Shall I find faith? Then he speaks this parable. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Now, who is he speaking this parable to? Unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, if you've been following and we've been talking, if you look at the context of who is with Messiah, who is he talking to, you could see that there were times when he's interchanging. He's talking to the multitude. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the Pharisees. If he's at the house of a Pharisee, if he's walking on the way to Jerusalem, if he's in an open space, it's important for us to look at all of this as far as the context is concerned. By virtue of what he's going to say, we know that he's speaking to those who consider themselves to be righteous. They trusted in themselves. Now, remember in Matthew chapter 5, he says to the people, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of certain groups of individuals. And I walk away, how does your righteousness exceed somebody else's righteousness? Well, the fact of the matter is that we know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were self-righteous. There were those who trusted in the fact that they were Abraham's seed. There were those who trusted in the fact that they were Jewish or they were Hebrew, that they were in simply because of their inheritance, because of their nationality, because of their identity with groups of individuals that are supposed to be the descendant of one Abraham. And what he's saying is that, listen, except your righteousness exceed them, their righteousness is they trust in themselves and their birthright, not in faith. Faith in what? Faith in the one Father sent. I remember going through some changes, you know, in the Baptist church when I first came out of the world, and I had questions. I still got a lot of questions, brothers and sisters. I just put it out there. And I'm glad I have questions, some questions that I won't share with other people, but they push me to find answers. Because when I look at some of these questions, I remember when I was in the Baptist church, I would wonder why would Jehovah send John the Baptist to Israel to speak to the people to repent? And I remember asking, repent from what? Why would the Jewish people need to repent? They had the law. What would they need to repent from? Righteous people don't need to repent. And therein is the issue. Their righteousness was in themselves. Their righteousness was based on the religion of the Jews, Judaism. Their righteousness was based on the traditions that they were teaching as commandments. And then for Messiah to teach repentance, and then for his disciples to begin to teach repentance. And we have to confront the fact that all of the Gospels is relating and focusing not to Gentiles. Today, it's the Gentile, the non-Jewish community who want to look at the gospel and lay claim to it. And that's fine to lay claim to the teaching, but if you look at the teaching was directed at a people who supposedly already had a relationship with the Almighty. Well, what was the problem with the relationship they had with the Almighty that they would need to repent, turn, and return? Because people can learn their traditions. Their traditions can make them feel comfortable in their faith if their faith tradition teaches them that they're in right standing with the Almighty. Right standing with the Almighty would mean that I'm now, based on what I've been taught, is going to uphold the traditions that I've been taught. So if I believe in this, then I'm going to practice what they practice. I saw a post. There are people that I know. And this time of year, I find myself having to resist a lot. Now, some of you all know that sometimes I expose my family, and they don't like that, but my family is no different than any other family. We all have some of the same issues and challenges. And yesterday, my brother, he sent me a text. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Now, this brother know I don't celebrate Christmas. But what I left off is he sent it to my other brother. He thought he was sending it to my brother. Because it says, Amos, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Now, he didn't say Arthur. You see, I have other family members who celebrate Christmas. And they got their Christmas trees. Now, they're not going to contact me, and I know he contacted me by mistake. And I want to text him back saying, hey, this, you sent this to me, not to Amos. So that means that he will send Amos a Merry Christmas, because now he realized he sent it to the wrong brother, and I'm not going to even respond to it. I got others. And I'm looking at some of the things that they're posting, and it's like, you know, they're just showing you where they are. That's what they're doing. They're showing you where they are. And like I said, you know, to my wife, unless somebody speaks directly to me, I'm not going to go on their Facebook page and start attacking something that they're saying, because that's their private property, in the sense, even though it's public. But if they directed one of those statements directly at me, then I now have a responsibility to say, now, I done told you I don't believe in that. I done told you I don't celebrate that. And here's why. Whether they want to hear it or not. And then I'm seeing ministries and ministers, people that I know, and they got their Christmas tree in their sanctuary, in their church. It's like, what's that got to do with the birth of Messiah? But these are the traditions that those church denominations practice. And if you practice those traditions, then they become part of your faith. And as part of your faith and tradition, that's what you preach, teach, and practice. So you can see what a person believes by what they practice. So John is sent to a people who say they believe in God, but what they're practicing is they're following the commandments of men, and they've made the commandments of God. It's like, how can you say you believe in God but reject his commandments and keep the traditions of your elders? So the elders are off. And John is telling the elders, and when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, comes to him, he says, who warned y'all? Serpents, vipers. Woe, he says to them. And these are the individuals who were responsible for teaching. Like Nicodemus came at night saying, hey, how can a man... Well, you are Israel's teacher. You don't know these things. If people don't know the truth of what they're teaching what they know as truth. This is the concern. That's the concern Jehovah had with his people, which is why he raised up the prophets. He's going to raise up shepherds after his own heart. There are many shepherds who are shepherds that are not after his own heart. And there will be those who will be after his heart that will preach and teach people. And they will be the ones who will be persecuted and attacked and torn, you know, to bits in their, you know, social media platforms, people will attack. And these are the kinds of things that are designed to force people to change. Some people will come. Yeshua talked a parable about the seed, the sower. Some people will come and they will know what you're saying is true. But when the vitriol and the attacks and all the stuff that comes from people that they know becomes to such a point to where they can't handle that because they don't understand the supernatural in the natural. The natural is what we can see, and it's what we have to deal with, listen to, and hear. We have to hear this over and over and over. And the thing about the natural is that all of the words and speech we hear, it's coming from people who speak. And if we lack the ability to hear from the Almighty and have a problem trusting the things that we read, which is His word, because we see what is in His word and we hear what is being taught that is in His word that is not. And there is no season that exposes that like the season we're in. This supernatural relationship rely on trusting a supernatural being who don't speak like the world around us speak. This requires walking by faith. And Yeshua says, will I even find it? Will I even find it? Look at the people in your life. Look at you. I know that as I examine myself, there are times when I can see myself about to say, do, or act in a manner that I shouldn't. I think oftentimes the only thing that saved me is that every day I start my focus on Him. Amen. I can imagine starting my day not focusing on Him and just letting my day get started. When I live like that, there were times when circumstances forced me to pray. I'm in a moment and I need to pray now because I don't know what to do. Whereas if I start my day out with Him, He guides and leads me. So when stuff come at me, I know exactly what to do. I need to put it on Him. I need to talk to Him about it. It's a terrible thing as I look back in my life when I started my day without praying. And I used to be one of those people who, you know, go to the Bible when I got a problem. Now, I read the Bible, I've read the Bible, but when I have a problem, that kind of gets me into a certain place because now I'm trying to figure out how to deal with this particular problem. And there are people who don't go to the Bible until they got problems. You don't want to be one of those people. I'm thankful that, you know, when I have a problem, I know where to go to in the Bible. See, they trusted in themselves. The parable highlighted one type of man who, one, trusted in themselves that they are righteous, and then they despised others. Luke 18:10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now, what we see here is there's two types of people on total opposite ends of the spectrum. The Pharisees believed they were righteous and everyone else was not. In fact, they despised Him. And they even accused Yeshua. How can you be eating with these people? How can you be in fellowship with these people? How can you even be dealing with these people? In the parable, He revealed or revealed, that should be revealed, how those two individuals saw themselves in their own eyes. The religious man was haughty and exalted himself. The publican was humble. In verse 11 says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And here's why I say, you know, your prayer should never be in comparison to someone else. Your relationship with the Almighty, yeah, you may be doing a whole lot better than a whole lot of folks, but when you use Messiah as your example, as your model, as your guide, there's always areas in your life where you see you need to come up. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, this doesn't justify folks who are righteous or folks who put their faith in Yehovah, because when you put your faith in Yehovah in Yeshua's name, Yeshua becomes our righteousness. We are the righteousness of Yehovah in Messiah. So there is a righteous standing that we have with the Almighty through faith. There's no question about that. Therefore, if we are righteous, we can't be a sinner. Doesn't mean we won't sin, but a sinner is a person who has a lifestyle of sinning. We're not that people. Doesn't mean that we are perfect, although we are working at perfecting our faith. At least we should. Doesn't mean we're not going to mess up or not going to make a mistake or not slip. But we learn from those slips. We learn from those mess ups and we learn from those mistakes so we don't repeat them. That's the conviction. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalt himself shall be what? Abased. And he that humble himself shall be exalted. Then he transitioned to childlike faith. And believe it or not, all this stuff is connected here in this two parables and here. And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Now, here is how religious people can get in the way. Religious people can get in the way. Yeshua called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know why these disciples decided that they needed to keep the children away. He says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Sometimes people who look like they have a relationship with Yeshua in Yehovah can be a hindrance to you in your walk if you let them. There are people who have walked away from God because of some interaction with somebody in church. You assume that the people in church are righteous people. You assume that the people in your church are people who are really trying to please God. There's a lot of assumptions that we make because we look at the locality of a person or people who are part of an assembly and make assumptions that because they are in the assembly, they must have a love for God. And therefore, people will open themselves up. They'll expose themselves to people. Not even realizing, because they're not looking at the fruit of a person, they're looking at the location of a person. You will know a tree by its fruit. Just because a person is in the same fellowship with you, don't necessarily mean the Almighty sent them there. There are people that are in churches that are not there because the Almighty said. I remember back in the day when I was in the Navy, as I said to you, when we come to a certain city, they would tell us the easiest women to pick up are the ones in church. Now, it's unfortunate, but, you know, you find a lot of church women who hang out in the bars on Fridays and Saturdays, and they come up, and some of them do a good job of looking holy, but in the day of society we live in, seem like some of them left the bar coming to church. So just because somebody is in the building don't mean they're part of the family. Just because they, you know, fellowship with you don't mean that they are in communion with you. Don't allow offenses to turn you away from Jehovah. If somebody calls an offense, you have to decide whether or not you're going to accept it. There are many people who have been offended, and the only way you can be offended is that you embrace it. You can also reject it. You can decide that you're not going to allow that person or anybody else to offend you, because you are in this relationship with him, and no one is going to get in the way of that. Don't let anyone or anything stand between you and Jehovah. See, now this child, you know, as if forbidding them, Yeshua rebukes them, said, don't forbid them. And I can tell you that if your relationship with the Almighty is where, you know, it should, then he will rebuke other people, but he'll also rebuke you. It's like, why are you allowing that person to cause an offense in your heart? Don't you know this person? Can't you see their fruit? And then how is it that they have such power and authority to cause you now to cause an offense with you, and then you get offended with me? They create an offense with you, and you stop talking to me. Just walk away from God because they got hurt in church. Well, if you've been taught the church is a house of God and not that you are the temple, then your offense would be with the people in the church. If you've been offended by somebody in church, you got to let that thing go. You got to repent and return to the one who speaks to you, because he'll say to you, you know, they is not what you should be looking at or watching. You should keep your eyes on the author and finisher, the one who started this with you. I started this work in you. I'm going to finish this work in you if you allow me to finish this work in you and not let somebody else chase you off. Romans, Paul writes, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Now, you have to know that within your heart. And then you got people out there say, well, I still pray and I still read my Bible. I just don't go to church. And I understand the language, but I can tell you that if you're not in fellowship with other believers, your faith is extremely weak. And if you're reading your Bible and love God, but not going to church, I can also imagine that you got a raggedy faith life. There's something about being in the proximity of other saints that hold us accountable. See? So, well, you don't want people in your business. You need people in your business. If your business is clean, you ain't got no problem with people in your business. The only reason why you don't want people in your business is because you got dirty business going on. And if they nosy, you know, let them come in and look around. Well, you know, because after all, hopefully they will find something you can't see. They'll expose an area of weakness in your life that may need to be exposed. Don't get mad at them. Clean it up. Prayer that get results are persistent. You have to be persistent in your prayer life. Prayer that gets results are humble. They come from a place to where you know that as a son or as a daughter, that my life, my way of living is to be pleasing to my Father And why would he refuse me anything? If you look at it in the natural, if you are an obedient son or obedient daughter, why would your mama or your daddy say no to anything you ask for them, of them? 9 times out of 10, they're not. Because they ain't got a legitimate reason not to. Typically, when parents say no, is when you're asking for something that is going to harm you, or you're asking for something they don't think you deserve. If it's something that they think is going to harm you, then you have to say, okay, I know my parents know what's best for me. But if they come up, you know, come up with some excuse as to why, and I know I have children, you know, they're going to ask you, well, why? Now, you may not have them kind of children, but if they ask you for something and you say no, they want to know, well, why? And you, your excuse, your reason better be valid, because otherwise they got some reasoning with you. Prayers that get results are always directed to our Father. In Luke 11:1, as we read when we were in Luke, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples, said unto Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. So prayers are directed to Jehovah. Now, I've been in places and I hear it, I see it. People, Lord Jesus. You see. And it's like Yeshua said, when you pray to your Father. Now, church may teach you to pray differently, and they may teach you based on how their examples are. But if I listen to my Savior, the one who gave his life, he taught his disciples, when they pray, say, our Father. Prayer that gets results requires faith and forgiveness. And it came to pass that as he was praying, Luke 11:1, didn't I just read that? Something's wrong. Oh, that's the same. Okay, there was another place, if I guess I didn't put the rest of that, to where when you stand praying, forgive. When you stand praying, forgive. For if you not forgive those who have trespassed against you, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your trespasses. Jehovah answers the prayers of those that keep his law, keep his commandments. 1 John 3:21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward who? Toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. See, just like a parent can refuse a child asking them for something because of some act or action of disobedience toward them and be justified in not giving them what they ask, so can Father be when we are not in walking in obedience with him. Prayer is Jehovah's supernatural communication. When we pray, we're talking to a spirit. Yeshua said in John 4, Jehovah is spirit, and they who come to him must come how? In spirit and in truth. We're talking not to a physical being that we can reach out and touch tangibly, but to our Father who is in heaven, who is more real than all this stuff around us that we can see. But it requires faith to believe that. Prayer is communion and fellowship with Jehovah. We enjoy this communion and this fellowship. Why? Because he is always with us. Yeshua says he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. That wherever he go, where two or more gather together. Father is always with us, watching over us. Prayer is communication with Jehovah. You talking to him, he talking to you. He communicates with his people. His spirit revealed things to us, show us things, remind us of things. I remember when I was in college, I would pray before an exam. And part of my prayer in college was, Father, bring to my remembrance those things that I have been taught. Bring them. Now, I know we think that it's only the word that he'll bring to our remembrance. As I get older, new information keeps coming in, and it's as if old information don't get flushed out. It just gets pushed further back in my memory. I haven't lost it, but sometimes to bring it to the forefront, I have to think about it. It's there. I just got to go in the files and just find that folder. But it's there. And I say that because our mind has the capacity to contain all the information we have ever learned or gathered. And there are times when I start looking for something without asking Father for help. But there are many times after frustration of looking for something to where, you know, this is where I put it, this is where it should be, and it's not there, and somebody must have moved it, only to realize later on that the somebody who moved it was me. I didn't put it back where it should have been. But after frustration of looking and looking and looking, looking under there, moving that around, and then I get to this point to where I realize I'm doing this in my flesh. I've not asked Father to help me to look for this. And so I can sit down, relax my mind. Because, you know, if you ask somebody something, they're going to start asking you 100 questions. Where's the last time you seen it? Did you retrace your steps? You know, it's like if I don't need that. But that's how it happens. We do that, too. Somebody asks us, we go through that spiel. And just getting quiet and allowing Father to reveal it to me and then trusting that it's not lost. He will reveal it to me, and then not being panicked by it. Not being, you know, anxious or edgy or agitated by it. Because sometimes that can agitate us to no end. And once I relax and let all that stuff go and start thinking on something else, just like that. Father, remind me. Well, that's where it is. And, you know, I may have thought, okay, I learned not to accuse people of moving stuff. Before, I used to accuse folks until, you know, come to realize you're the perpetrator. Prayer is spiritual warfare. Prayer is a weapon. Prayer is part of our armor. In Ephesians 6:13, it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of God, which is the word of the Spirit. And in most places where I've been, they stop there when they talk about the armor, the full armor of God. But Paul goes on and saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Personal prayer is private. Matthew 6:5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. And when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. In that particular verse, Matthew 6:8, my Father know what I have need of before I ask him. It helps me in the sense of when I'm praying, to where now he knows what I have need of. He provides my need. And it taught me to, okay, if he provides my need, he know what I have need of, then open my eyes and show me where it's at. Reveal to me where my provision is. Because everything that I have need of is already here. There's nothing that I need that is not already present. I just need to be shown. Just like something's lost, something I've misplaced, something I didn't put back where it belonged or where I normally put it. And now I'm asking him to show me where it is. I'm also asking him to show me where my provisions are and who got it. Because sometimes it may be in the hands of somebody else. And sometimes, you know, it's just a matter of him ordering my steps, ordering as the scripture says, the steps of the righteous are ordered. He will lead you to a person, lead you to a place, lead you to a thing. And those of you who have ever had that experience, you know what I'm talking about, because there's such an excitement to where you're asking him for something. And in a matter of moments or time, you know, he's manifesting it. It may not necessarily like you think he would, but he does. Prayer that gets results are direct. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Messiah Yeshua. And so when you are praying for results, you're not anxious. You're not going to worry. You're not going to be fretting over something, because you know that he's going to manifest it. It's just a matter of him showing you where it's at. Prayer can be public when praying together with others in agreement. Sins must be atoned for, as we know Messiah has atoned for our sins, but we must confess them. Romans 5 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also enjoy in God through our Lord Yeshua Messiah, by whom we now have received the atonement. And then James tells us that if there any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now he put this part after the fact. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sometimes people don't get healed because they got issues in their lives that they haven't dealt with. They got sin in their lives. Now, I'm praying for people, period. I'm not thinking about sin. I'm not thinking about any of that stuff. Somebody's asked for prayer, I'm praying for them. And now I need to be in that communion space, because there have been times when I'm praying for somebody and Father will give me stuff. It's like, okay, I'm stop praying. Stop praying and start talking. Because I'm seeing things. And when I'm seeing, those things need to be addressed, because if the manifestation of what is being prayed for, if these issues don't be addressed, it's not going to manifest. There have been times when I'm asking people, you know, you're asking for prayer and something's not happening. Is there anything in your life that you need to get out? Some of us, immediately we know exactly what that issue is. And if we're embarrassed by it, we may not say anything. Fault here is to fall beside or near something, a lapse or deviation from truth. You'll find that there are some people who've kind of deviated from truth, some people who've kind of wandered off from the truth, some people who've kind of backslid. And they need to be brought back. James would later say in that chapter, whoever, you know, if there's a brother overtaken in a fault, whoever, you know, you need to restore that brother. You need to, you know, you're causing that person to repent from their sin. You saving a person who has been overtaken, who have wandered off. Hindrances to prayer. The greatest hindrance to prayer is sin. Isaiah says, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sometimes, now he hears, but he's not responding. So, well, why would he do that? Well, typically, what I've found is that, you know, the Holy Spirit is at work in the heart of the person. I may not see this. I know with me, whenever it is that things are not going the way I think or feel they should, I'm going through stuff in my head. And sometimes I'm wondering, is it because of that? Is it because of this? And those thises and thats. Maybe issues that I need to deal with and haven't dealt with. Maybe I put them off. And maybe I'm not able to make the connection between this and that. You see? But I know this. What I'm asking for ain't manifesting at this moment. Is it because of something I'm doing or not doing? Or is it because he's not ready to manifest? I got to go through all that stuff. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know, when I read that, it's like I had to get a clue. Because I have dealt harsh with my wife. Now, I don't see this same command to the wife, but I do see it with the husband. And being a husband is like, okay, there are times when I'm angry and I'm upset and I want to holler and I want to fuss. You see. And there are times when I am calling something out, but not calling out the thing that is in me. And regardless to whatever it is, I have to be mindful how I communicate to my wife, even when I'm angry or upset. Because at no point do I want to deal with her harsh if it's going to hinder my prayers. I need my prayers answered, bro. We must walk in truth. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Yeshua to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Make you free. That's the last slide. That's it. We kind of got to it. We went a couple of few minutes over, but we got through it. Um, We're going to give you a moment here to ask questions, but let me pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this, another lesson on prayer, and specifically how to get answers to our prayers, prayers that get result. We know there's so much more that can be said here. We know that you hear our prayers. We know the reasons why you don't respond to our prayers. If we don't, make us to know them. We know that when we pray and believe those things we ask, we shall receive. Even as John says, we know that commandments is obedience. Keeping your commands is obedient. Doing what you want us to do, ask us to do, instruct us to do, command us to do. Cause us to be an obedient people, so for no reason whatsoever, our prayers are never hindered. Always answered. Help us to walk in truth, to walk in obedience, so that when we call on you, you hear us. And if for any reason there's something in our lives that we're overlooking or not dealing with, Father, we pray and give you permission at any time to correct us, to rebuke us, to chastise us, to instruct us. Our desire is to be led, to be guided by you. And we know we can get in our ways. We've seen ourselves in times past when we're honest with ourselves, how we've tripped over our own words, opened our mouths and said things we shouldn't have said, allowed our own desires to get in the way of your will. And we don't want to be that people. We know that there are things that we desire and want that may not necessarily be what you desire and want for us. We ask, Father, that you will help us. Whatever is hindering your people's prayers, reveal it to them. Those who've been offended and who've walked away or stepped away or put their religious or spiritual life on hold, call them. Speak to them. Reveal yourself to them. Send someone across their path that will speak your words to them and bring them to a place of repentance. Help all of us to see your truth in your word. And where we need to turn away from societal norms, from religious practices that are not in alignment, from things that we've been taught that have not been according to your truth, correct us. We're so grateful that you love us so much and that you won't allow anything to stand between us. Nothing can separate us from you. Show us those things that we've allowed to cause us to separate ourselves from you. Pray for the conviction of your spirit and for your truth to ring free, and help us to get over any pride. To be able to let things go. Deliver us. Save us. Amen. Questions, comments. We're going to take a few questions here. Yes, sir.
Shalom.
Shalom, brother.
My question is just when dealing with certain friends and family that I have who are who haven't come to the knowledge of the truth yet and are still within Christianity, oftentimes they'll try to compare their own lives to mine or to people who are in the Hebrew roots, saying, you know, what have you done for the kingdom? Things of that nature. What has your church done? You know, we're planting churches, we're feeding clothing homeless. You know, what have you done? How do I respond to that in a loving and scripturally accurate way?
Yeah. Well, there will always be people who will judge you. If you were feeding the homeless or feeding the hungry or clothing the naked, it doesn't matter. There will always be people who will look at their religion and what they're doing and challenge you based on their... It kind of reminds me of the Pharisee who said, I'm not like that publican. You know, look at what I do. I pray, I fast, you know, I do all of the, I pay my tithe.
Right.
And so that individual is looking at themselves, which that would be a good place to point out to them if the knowledge is there. But no matter what your walk is, there will always be people who will have something to say about it. Now, what I would look at within myself is I would question, is what they're saying to me true? I would have to use the truth to be able to filter what they're saying through, you see.
Right.
Understand that the perfect, flawless, no sinning individual walking the earth was confronted, accused of, lied on, stuff made up against him, and he did no wrong. And if they did that to him, they're going to do it to you. The thing is for you is, what is Father telling you to do, and are you true to that? Because that's what I would be looking at. If I'm not doing something that I should be doing and they're pointing that out, or are they comparing themselves to me? Let's see.
That's good. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
You're talking to me?
Talking to you.
Because I said Shabbat Shalom when you start. But anyway, Shabbat Shalom.
I don't have a question. I just want to talk this morning because I'm filled with joy. And I'm just so grateful.
Good.
And I know the Father and the Father's in me. And with the wonderful things that happened in my life, one thing that happened this morning that's an experience. As I awakened this morning, I awakened to a temperature of 11 degrees outside. But yet inside the house, temperature hadn't dropped. Still warm, still comfortable. Looked at my clock. I said, no, it's time for me to get up and get ready for service. So I got up, went to the bathroom, turned on the water, turned on the lights. I said, there's no lights. I went through the house saying, thought there was a problem with the house. Went to the fuse box, clicked it. I said, gosh, I have no power. So now what do? I want to go to service. I said, well, what I'll do, I'll watch it. I'll watch the service on TV. Then I thought, wait a minute, I don't have any power, so how can I watch it on TV? So I said, okay, I might as well go. Can't watch it on TV. I said, looked at the water. The water was cold. I don't have a hot water tank. I have a tankless hot water heater. Realized that you still need a spark to even start the hot water in your house. I said, well, what I'll do, I just throw some cold water, rinse off, and put on some clothes and go to service. So I said, now let me do this. Let me go get some candles, and I'll light some candles and kind of get spruced up. So I went and got the candles, rack of candles. I said, wait a minute. I need some matches. I said, I don't have any matches. I said, I have one of those things that you click, clicker, and the fire come out. I couldn't find it. I said, let me look for some matches. So I went, found some matches in one of the cabinets, went back to the restroom. I had this rack of candles. And I was trying to strike. It wouldn't strike. I kept going. I found one that would work. So I started to light the candles in the restroom. And I said, wow, I got one more to light. And I almost burnt my hand trying to light the candles. Then all of a sudden, I heard something click. The lights came on. I said, even in the time of darkness, he's light. Even when it's cold outside, he's still warmth. So if you think you're cold and the air and the cold weather's hitting you, think about how his warmth can keep you warm, because he would guide you. God is good. And I just thought I'd give a little humor this morning by telling my story about what happened to me this morning and my desire to come and hear a great message, which I did. That's one more thing. I was on my way to serve this morning. I called my brother to see how he was doing. He was on his way to his service. And he told me to tell you, he said, tell the bishop. I said, hello. You know, you had a conversation with him.
Hi.
And he says, that's what you call him. I said, no, he's not a bishop. He said, well, what do you call him? I said, I call him Apostle Arthur. He said, there's no more apostles anymore. I said, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There are apostles. I said, you're an educator. You should know. Go look up the word. There's no apostles. I said, well, being Catholic, you wouldn't understand that. No offense to Catholic. I was just teasing my brother back and forth. So I thought I'd bring a little humor this morning. But anyway, he got the message. Hopefully it resonates somewhere down the line.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Hello. Shabbat shalom, everyone. I'm just here to say thanks to the Father for working on me these past few months. So I'm a recent graduate from the University of North Carolina at Charlotte.
Congratulations.
I graduated in May. And I was fortunate to have a job right out of college. I went to a fall regional conference in D.C. about in October. Just went to network and try to meet people and things of that nature. And, got some information. And then when I came home, I just went back to work and companies were reaching out to me, and I applied, and I just accepted a position in D.C., so I'll be moving out there, and I just want to come up here and say, you know, my faith has increased, and thank you for your teachings, and I've learned a lot since I've been here, and I won't stop, but, might not be here in the flesh, but I'll definitely be around, so thank you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Shabbat shalom.
Once again, I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
Every time I'm on my way here, or, you know, Wednesday, Thursday starts rolling around, I know it's getting close to Sabbath. And I'd be saying, oh, Father, I can't wait till Sabbath get here. Mm. So I give Jehovah all the glory and the honor and the praise. When I say I'm glad to be here, I'm very serious about that. Mm-hmm. I'm very glad to be here.
Amen.
I want to share something, and I don't know if I've shared this before, and forgive me if I'm being repetitive, but I'm hoping that this would help someone. And it's about prayer. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to when I lost my son. I felt really, really devastated when I lost my child, because he's the one Jehovah used to bring me to this walk. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't understand why Jehovah had chosen to take him. And it was so devastating. I said to myself, well, you know what? It really doesn't make any sense to pray, because Alba, you're going to do what you want to do anyway. So I made a decision not to pray. But the next few seconds I said, Father, forgive me for not praying. Forgive me for not praying. And then at other times I would say again, well, what sense does it make to pray? Because you're going to do what you want to do. And then I would go back and I would say, okay, well, I don't understand this. I don't know why you allowed this, but I know I'm supposed to trust you. Mm-hmm. Then I would go through. But it seemed to me like it just doesn't make any sense to pray. Because you are God, you're going to do what you want to do, and I may not ever have an understanding. Then at other times I would say, well, can you show me why? Can you tell me why? What happened? What went on? Go back. Doesn't make any sense to pray. Doesn't make any sense to pray. Father, forgive me for not praying. And I remember as those days were passing, I heard Jehovah say to me, he said, you keep asking me to forgive you for not praying, but you are praying because you're talking to me. Mm-hmm. You haven't run away from me. And when he said that, I just fell on the floor and started crying. And I said, Abba, I know things going to happen in life. I know people are going to leave this world, this earth. I know that. I said, I haven't been reading your word, because whenever I open your word and read it, I see where you did all these miracles. You opened up ears. People were able to see. You delivered them from lunatic spirit, and you raised the dead. But you didn't do that for me. You know, you didn't raise my son up. And I just don't understand that, Father. I just don't understand that. He said, keep talking, because you're praying. You're praying. But to me, I wasn't praying. You know, to me, I wasn't praying. But he let me know, you're praying because you're talking to me. And then I said, you know what, Father? No matter what goes on in this world, in my life, please, please, don't allow me to walk away from you. Because, see, I remember what it was like when I wasn't serving the Father. And I don't ever want to go back there. It was horrible for me. I can only speak for me. It was horrible. It was horrible. I stayed in such a depressed state. And I didn't even realize that I was walking through depression. You know, I mean, it was horrible. Days would pass when I didn't know what days it was, because the depression was so deep. And I don't ever want to go back there. And so I said, Abba, no matter what you allow to happen, please don't allow me to walk away from you. Mm-hmm. And even during that time of me not understanding and trying to question him, I would go into the stores and people would just walk up to me and start telling me their problems. And I was like, I don't want to talk to nobody. What can I tell them? I don't want to say nothing. And he would say, just listen. And the people would just begin to share with me. One lady walked up to me. She said, Miss, I don't know why, but you look like somebody I can trust. I need to talk about something. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't have nothing to tell you. I'm hurting myself. I don't have any answers myself. And this lady just began to pull out to me, you know. And all the while, I'm trying to think how I can get away from her, because I don't know what to say to her. But she's talking, and I can see the hurt, and I can see the pain. And even if I couldn't relate to her problem, I could relate to pain. Because pain is pain, whether it's a loss of a child or loss of finances. You don't know how you're going to pay the bills or how food coming in. Pain is pain. So I was able to relate to her pain. And then she began to share. I shared a little bit with her. And Father gave me the words to say, you know, there's a scripture that says something about, you know, that I don't
worry about what you're going
to
say.
What you're going to say.
Give it
Because I really didn't know what to tell the lady. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to talk to her, nobody else about God or nothing, because I was just messed up.
Yeah.
But Father gave me the words to say, and I was able to pray with her right there in the store. And I walked out the store, sat in my vehicle, and I just bawled and I cried. I said, why you did that to me? Why did you do that to me? You know, I didn't want to talk to anybody. And he was constantly doing that to me. So even when we think we're not praying, just talk to him.
Yeah.
Whatever it is going on inside. You know you're whacked up, you're crazy, you don't understand. Whatever's going on, he knows anyway. Just talk to him, and you'll find he's right there. Through every bit of the hurt, every bit of the pain, not understanding, he's right there with you. Because I knew he was there, but I just couldn't understand the child that brought me to this walk. Here, I've lost this child. I just want to give Jehovah the glory.
Amen.
And the honor and the praise, for keeping me. I did not keep myself. I wasn't swinging from the chandeliers. Oh, I lost my son, but I know God is good. Hallelujah. I'm going to be all right. Oh, he's in a better place. I had none of that. Nothing. I was just wasted. I just was of no good. But Father kept me, because one of the things I did not want to do, because in this world we're going to have tribulation. He said, be of good cheer because I will overcome the world. I didn't know nothing about no good cheer either. I had nothing going on. But he kept his hands on me, and he held me when I felt like I couldn't pray, when I felt like I couldn't read the scriptures, because just looking at those miracles in there and saying he didn't do that for me, it hurt too bad. It hurt it too bad. And I couldn't open up those scriptures and read them. But that's why you have to have the scriptures hid in your heart.
Amen.
Because the scripture was constantly come up. They were constantly come up, just constantly come up. And those little bitty pieces, because some of the scriptures, I couldn't even remember all of them. I can only remember God gives you a sound mind. I couldn't remember whole scriptures. Bits and pieces would come up, and it gave me the strength to hold on. So no matter what you're going through, all I can say from personal experience, because that was one of the most devastating times of my life. I knew the only way I was coming out of there, it wasn't going to take any psychiatrist. It wasn't going to take any spiritual counseling. I knew the only way that I wasn't going to lose my mind, the only way I was coming out of that, was that Jehovah did it. And guess what? He didn't disappoint me. He did it. He did it for me. So whatever you may be going through, whatever the loss is, whatever you don't understand, don't walk away. He said all we needed was faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. I never forget the first time I laid eyes on a mustard seed. I could not believe how small it was. I had never seen a mustard seed. But I was teaching a little Bible study to children, and I decided to hunt down mustard seeds, especially since I had never seen one. And when I saw a mustard seed, I was amazed at how small it was. And he said, that's all the faith that we need. We can move mountains with just that little bitty bit. And if you've never seen a mustard seed, go find some mustard seed, and you'll see. Abba is faithful. Don't give up. Don't care what's going on. Don't care what your mind is telling you. Don't give up on the Father. Even when you feel like you can't pray, you can't open up that word, don't give up on Father, because he's real and he's faithful.
Amen.
And I thank him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Powerful stuff. You know, sometimes all you can do is fuss and cry and scream. But I think the thing we have to remember, you know, as I was listening, we have this idea of prayer. And, you know, prayer is communion.
Yeah.
It's communicating. There's no, I mean, I know Messiah gives us the model of prayer, sometimes, you know, all as Romans, Paul wrote, that sometimes we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. But the Holy Spirit in us, you know, He will help us and guide us. And, you know, if all you got to do is, all you got to say, I mean, you could be angry at the Almighty and scream at Him, but you're talking to Him.
Yeah.
And He understands what you are feeling. That's the beauty of our Father. As you was talking, I was thinking about Jonah. Jonah was fussing at the Almighty. He's just like, Jonah, it's like, what's up, man? You know, just follow. And then you remember when the tree grew up and he started getting some shade? And then he took the tree away. It's like, you know, sometimes all you got is frustration and anger. But it's always good to get that out, to talk to him just like you would talk to anybody else. If you need, scream. Cry out. Groan. Whatever. Just don't walk away. That's the worst thing you can do, is walk away. And, you know, I'm thankful that even when you walk away, he'll follow you. He be tapping you on the shoulder. You try to get away from him like this. Some would say, man, no matter where I go, it's like, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. And, you know, he's going to be with you all the way.
Yeah.
All the way.
Yeah.
Any other comments or questions?
Okay, we have two comments. This is from Tanya. As we are inundated by the world's celebrations everywhere we go, Father has told me this is a good time to review and focus on the many wonderful feast days He has given to us. I am doing this right now, beginning with the weekly Sabbath. What a blessing. He is always so creative in how He helps us stay on course, but there can be so many spiritual attachments to things we once celebrated. This comment is from Thomas. Shabbat Shalom, Arthur, and all the HOI saints. In the parable concerning the Pharisee exalting himself when he came to pray, and we are told not to be like that, I can't help but associate that with Exodus 20, verse 26, where we are commanded not to go up steps to the altar so as we do not expose our nakedness.
Okay.
That's all we have at this moment.
Any other comments or questions? This time I want to give you an opportunity to give if there are no other comments or questions. Father, we just thank You so much for Your goodness. We thank You for Your mercies. We thank You for this time of giving. We pray, Father, for You to be glorified even in our giving. It's our desire to please You in every aspect of our life. We ask that You receive our gifts, our offerings, our tithe. Let none lack as a result of their giving. But to the contrary, as we give with expectations in obedience, expecting the windows of heaven to be opened, blessings in abundance poured out, so much so that we have not enough room to retain them all. We ask, Father, that You move mightily even on that which remains. Be glorified in our giving. Be glorified in our living. In Messiah's name, amen. For those of you who are compelled to give, we certainly appreciate your giving. Those of you joining us online, on our website, arthurbaileyministries.com, you'll find that on the menu bar, there is a place on the menu that says donate. And if you click that, it will bring you to this page. If you're in Canada, you can give through our Canadian donation link. And that will take you to our Canada agency. Any gifts from Canada if you desire to receive any form of charitable letter, then you have to use that particular link. All others, you can give in either of those areas, and ways that you can give in the box below. You can give through your bank or credit union bill pay, through Zelle, Cash App, through Venmo. You can use the post office box if you want to send checks of money order. And as always, whatever way you choose to give, we certainly appreciate your giving. Amen. We have also another ministry completion, and this is Minister Training Course 2. Certainly want to congratulate Brother George Ray.
Amen.
For
Amen.
Your completion. Congratulations, brother. We'll be sending this to you in the mail. And those of you who are still working through the minister's training course, discipleship or leadership, just want to encourage you. You know, this is time well spent. As you're going through those courses, they're designed to equip, to educate, to strengthen. And so we certainly encourage you, if you have not taken discipleship training course, discipleship101.tv is the place you'll find that. Leadership 101 for the leadership course, leadership101.tv. And, of course, we have our ministers training there on the website. And to find that, in fact, all of these can be connected to from our website, if you go to the read section or the watch, there you go. And then under the watch link, there's academic teachings by Arthur Bailey. There's discipleship, leadership, minister training course, minister training course 2, and the Hebrew Roots University, all of which you can access from those links. And so again, please take advantage of it, because they were done for you. Are there any other comments or questions?
Judith wanted to thank Cynthia for her testimony and Arthur for your lesson.
Amen. Someone else? Anyone else?
I did have one more question.
Okay.
If I wanted to, so the Hebrew Roots.
Is that Michael?
Okay.
The Hebrew Roots University, that is learning biblical Hebrew. Is that?
No.
No.
Hebrew
okay.
Roots University is actually our academic accredited university.
Okay.
It's called Hebrew Roots University because the Hebrew roots of our faith is what we teach. We teach it from that perspective. So, no, it's not where you want to go if you want to learn Hebrew.
Do you offer any of those? No. Okay. Okay.
Don't.
That was it.
Shabbat shalom. I just wanted to bring you all a notice that it is possible that the new moon may be sighted tonight in Israel. Today is the 29th day, so if it's not seen tonight, by default, we will start the 10th month tomorrow night. But if it is sighted today, you will get a notification if you've signed up for the app, and I'll also put notices on our Facebook pages, which would mean that if sundown today on Sabbath starts the new month, then sundown on Saturday, we will start our corporate fast, praying for the souls of our families, friends, and neighbors, that Father would send laborers into the field so that those that we love and those that we live amongst would be saved. Thanks.
Amen. All right. Well, we are We're done. I'm going to ask Brother Cornelius if he would come and close us out in prayer. You okay with that? Certainly appreciate it. You'll probably need to get a microphone.
Thanks. Amen.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Let us bow and pray. We thank you, Father, for the message that we've received today. We thank you for who you are. You are the King of all kings. Mm. You are Jehovah our Elohim. You are the beginning and you are the end, Father. And you, we will always trust.
Amen.
We just give you thanks today, Father. We thank you for the word again. We thank you for choosing us to serve you, Father. And it's a privilege and an honor to serve you, Father. We bless your set apart name, Father. We thank you for your guidance, your counsel. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, Father. We ask that you forgive us for our sins,
yes,
those we're aware of and those we're not aware of. We ask you that you create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Mm-hmm. Cleanse us to righteousness, Father, so we can be right with you, Father.
Yes.
So we can go out in all the world and spread your true gospel, Father.
Yes. Yes.
Not the gospel about Jesus, Father, but the gospel that Yeshua taught.
Thank you. Thank you, Father.
And we thank you, Father, again.
Bless you.
And we bless your set apart name, Father. We ask that you help us to lead and teach by example, model, and demonstration, just like Yeshua did, Father. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear your true word, Father. We ask that you help us to become not only hearers of your word,
yes,
but doers of your word as well, Father. And we bless you. We honor you. We give your name all the glory and all the praise, Father. And we thank you again for today's message, Father. In the mighty name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, we're going to, you can stand up here with me, bro. We're going to bless the folks. So we're just going, Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, bro. All right. Well, thank you all for joining in with us. We've got food. We're going to